Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking history this morning and a couple of our favorites. The Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. Tom Van Winkle is here, the president. Executive Director Terry Renzel here this morning. And Tim Talbot may join us shortly, or he may not. We'll see. Central Virginia Battlefields Trust in this morning. Good to have you guys here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Ted. Good to be here.
I saw you both last week. There was a big announcement by the Wilderness Battlefield, named one of America's 11 most historic endangered sites. And Tom, you were one of the speakers. I think for people around here, you would think that really doesn't come as any surprise when you take a look at some of the things going on around here, and especially in Orange County.
Yeah, it shouldn't come as a surprise. The National Trust for Historic Preservation this is its second time the Wilderness Battlefield has been on that list. It was on that list back in 2010 when Walmart threatened to put up one of their facilities right at the Wilderness Gateway on Route 3 and 20, and they eventually moved down the road and are doing just fine. And now we're facing a 2,600-acre behemoth development across from Lake of the Woods on 3, which is infringing on the battlefield, with data centers and 5,000 homes and on and on. So we again had to draw attention to the fact that this wilderness area and the wilderness battlefield is just under an imminent threat, and we needed to bring that to everybody's forefront.
And you're involved with a number of other organizations that are fighting this in one form or another.
Yeah, we have what's called a Wilderness Coalition, and it includes American Battlefield Trust, Friends of Wilderness Battlefield, which and the three of us are actually involved in litigation with Orange County over this, and a numerous amount of other organizations that are all in this Wilderness Battlefield Coalition to try to stem the tide of what's happening with this development all land up and down Route 3 and in the wilderness area.
I guess it's not. When the Walmart situation, when that did get resolved and everyone breathed a sigh of relief, I'm sure you all didn't, just knowing what you do and what you see and what's happening around here.
Yeah, it was just one small win in a large pool of other issues that are going on. So we knew it was still coming. It's still coming. If you come off of 95 and go west and you get up to around Indore Drive, you'll see all the problems have come up to Indore Drive, and it's looking like it's still coming west, and we need to stop it because now it's infringing on Wilderness Battlefield and the overlap of the Chancellorsville Battlefield, and it's just got to stop somewhere, but it looks like it wants to keep coming.
Now, when you look at it, and you just think you don't want any of that area to become what Salem Church and what Route 3 has become, unfortunately, in this area.
Absolutely. I mean, Salem Church is a perfect example of why CVBT and organizations like us are necessary. That was miles out of town at the time.
Yeah.
You know, Central Park, part of the core battlefield for Salem Church. And
is that right? I don't know that I realized that.
Yeah. Robert Lee Hodge, who's on our board, he tells me, he's told me several times when he's brought people here, descendants of men who fought at Salem Church, and they want to see the Salem Church battlefield. He starts in Central Park. And he says, the first time he did that, the guy he was with said, okay, when are we going to get to the battlefield? And he said, we're on it.
Isn't that something?
And that when you read the history of the battle, they talk about the toll booth along the Plank Road. That was in the area of where modern-day Bragg Road is. And, that's about the time that the 6th Corps, Union 6th Corps, started, receiving artillery fire.
Yeah.
My bad.
No problem.
Not muting my phone.
No problem.
All these years in radio, I should know better. So
it's a $20 fine,
Yeah. The battle came up through there. The Confederates were entrenched around the church.
Yeah.
And that's all the battlefield. And the Confederate positions back on the, across modern Salem Church Road, where the the park and ride is, where the Arby's is, all that stuff. That was all core battlefield, all lost to development. When the park was originally founded, it was, you know, created along partially of the Antietam plan, which was basically just preserving, you know, thin strips of land. And, you know, people thought, oh, development will never get out this far.
Right. Guess what?
Here we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that explains why we don't have, you know, those bus tours of these, you know, of the Salem Church battlefield, because there's nothing there. And it's so many, you know, really all that's left is just the little spot, the little corner where Salem Church is. And it is hard to imagine. You look at pictures, and it's just hard to imagine.
Well, it's hard to even find it, even if you know where it is.
Yeah.
At this point. And unfortunately, that happened all back before any of our groups were formed. And, you know, the Park Service is only allowed to pay for up to an assessed value of a property. And that property was lost for in and around $20,000 difference.
Mm.
Which is...
Wow. Would everything look different now, mm-hmm, if somehow that could have, you know, happened? Wow.
Absolutely. It's, you know, the Park Service made, and Park Service and the Department of Interior made it was a math equation. You know, for $300,000, they could save a couple of acres around Salem Church, or they could, you know, preserve thousands of acres out west.
Hmm.
You know.
And that's why...
Math, you know, has no feelings.
Right. Yeah. And in this case, look what we've lost. Mm-hmm. And continue to lose. And this is why the work that you do every day with, you know, parcel by parcel makes such a big difference.
Absolutely. You know, it's a shame that everybody looks for the immediate dollar instead of looking at, we are an area that's completely different in Virginia. We are I always say you could put a fence around Virginia and that can be saved, history that's here. But the history that's here, right, in our own backyard is different than everywhere else. And it attracts industry from travel, you know, tourism. And it doesn't need to look like another Fairfax and everywhere else. There is a culture and history and historical landscape here that is worth, if you go into the math, the income for the area. But it's being lost to the thought of, well, the more we build, the more will come, the more taxes we can have. And it's really not a long-range plan that's going to sustain anything.
No, and when you mentioned tourism, on Friday morning, I went along with the National Park Service when they did their program at Saunders Field. And they had 125 people or so on a Friday morning at 11 o'clock. And the park ranger asked, you know, as far as distance goes, the farthest person was somebody that come from Phoenix to take part in the programs this weekend.
I moved down here 30 years ago, and I actually live on the Wilderness Battlefield. So, you know, and doing what we do here, I've been in touch with a lot of people that come down here. There's several, you know, you meet several people that have saved up for quite a long time that are interested in the Civil War and history in general. They saved up for quite a long time to come out here. And then you wonder if they're disappointed or not from what they thought they were going to see to what they're actually seeing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a shame.
Yeah. CVBT.org, the website for Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. We come back, we'll talk more about what they do and how we can all get involved. Tom Van Winkle is here. Terry Renzel is here this morning from Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Terry Renzel and Tom Van Winkle in this morning from the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. Terry, I'll throw this to you just as far as just a little bit of background of what you do for people who may have heard of you but don't quite know what you do.
I run the day-to-day operations of the office. Tom's my boss, the president of the board of directors, and so on a daily basis, I'm, you know, dealing with, you know, keeping the books, answering emails, phone calls. If we have the occasional walk-in, looking for funding opportunities to pay for land preservation, to pay for land reclamation. You know, working on, you know, correspondence, helping to work on our magazine, just, you know, the day-to-day running of a business, of a nonprofit organization. And it'll be 5 years here as of July 1st.
Wow, I can remember when you first came in. We introduced you to the area. So happy, almost happy anniversary.
Thank you.
So the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, you're working to try to protect battlefields where?
We are preserving battlefields on the four major campaigns in this region: Fredericksburg, Chancellorsville, Mine Run, and the Overland Campaign, including the Wilderness and Spotsylvania Courthouse. We sometimes do things on our own. Sometimes we work with our friends and colleagues at the American Battlefield Trust. Sometimes we work with the National Park Service. We're here to preserve the lands that the Park Service cannot. And that sometimes it's because it's stuff that's inside the authorized boundary that they can't move quick enough to purchase and preserve. And most of the time it's lands that are outside the authorized boundary of the Park Service.
And thank goodness you're doing what you're doing, because we talk about with Orange County, but just a lot of these small parcels that you've protected and been able to purchase really have been significant and tell a great story.
Yeah, it's, since 1990, this is what, a 28th year, we're working close to 2,000 acres, so almost, that we preserved so far, with an investment of in and around $9 million. And yeah, one of the major things we've been trying to do, I mean, most people that follow the Civil War know about Stonewall Jackson's great flank attack out here in the Battle of Chancellorsville. That has been parceled out to a lot of small properties and homes, and we've, for the past 28 years, have been trying to stitch that flank attack back together, us and the American Battlefield Trust. And so far, we've gotten quite a bit of it.
Yeah.
To a point where we can start to think about opening it up and having trails to the public. You know, everybody asks us, well, you buy the land, but you can't get on it. Well, but just as you just said, these small parcels are not yet interconnected. So there's no sense of having a trail system for, you know, the 800-foot of roads frontage that you have without adjoining property. So we had to wait until we can stitch as many together as we can to make it make sense to reclaim the battlefield to what it was. And that's another part of preserving, people don't understand. Most of the things we buy these days have a home on it or a building of some sort. So it's not only the purchase of the million or so or a purchase price of the property, but then we have to reclaim it, remove the buildings, and bring it back to, and that's another expense, which we're going through right now on one of our properties.
I was going to say, if you go on your Facebook page, you'll see that there's a piece of property. I think, is that on the Chancellorsville battlefield?
It's a Chancellorsville. It's called the Beckham Track. It's in the corner of Route 3 and 20. And we have, when we do these purchases, we get grants for them if we're lucky. And one of the stipulations of that grant is within 5 years, you have to reclaim that battlefield, remove any non-historic structure. So it's not only because we want to make it look like it did, but it's because we have to. Yeah. So now we're at a point where we need to take down some three or four structures, actually two large structures on that property. And it's going to run us in around $35,000 just to clear that battlefield off. And then it's going to run us, you know, the money to put the signage up and the trails and that thing. So it's not just the purchase of the property. You got a couple more steps afterwards to make it accessible to the public and tell that story again.
And that's where Terry, we can all get involved and financially support the work that you all do.
Absolutely. Go to our website, cvbt.org. There's a little bit of a story there about what happened on that piece of land, our current efforts to reclaim the land, tear down the modern structures, and then once that's done, be able to interpret the action of what happened there. And that specific track, as we refer to it as the Beckham Track, that's where Major Beckham of Stewart's Horse Artillery had a couple of guns located during the flank attack. And it was at that spot that Stonewall Jackson stopped and congratulated Beckham on the fine work that he was doing. And anyone who knows much about Stonewall Jackson knows that he was not that type of a commander to stop, especially in the middle of action, and offer praise to someone. So
what a great story that will be to be able to tell. Because like you say, those people who study the Civil War, as soon as I have not heard that story. And when you were telling that story, I thought, I've never heard that. I've never heard Stonewall Jackson do something like that.
Yeah, and the topography of that land, just east of that, right before you get to the corner of Route 3 and the Orange Plank Road, the ground rises a little bit, so you have a little knoll just to the east of that. And he had, you know, his guns back behind that knoll for protection. So, you know, once we're in a position to start interpreting that piece of land, you know, the story is looking east, and you can, you know, stand on top of the little knoll and look east down Route 3, and that's the direction that, you know, Jackson's men went as they, you know, pitched in to the Army of the Potomac 11th Corps.
Well, when you talk, Terry, about the topography, and so much of the land that you've been able to save, and you see it at Slaughter Pen Farm, you see it at so many places, the flank march, the topography, you learn so much about a battle when you can walk it or see it and all of a sudden discover this is what they were looking at.
Absolutely.
Yeah, most anybody in the military will tell you that a military plan only lasts through the first shot. Topography will direct how that battle goes. The swales, the creeks, whatever happens in there. Once you get to those things, sometimes battle plans go out the window, and the land tells you how you're gonna fight that battle.
Yeah, it's one thing to read about it,
right?
And we've all read about the battles, read about the men who took part in those battles, but to be able to stand on the ground where men fought and bled and some died and look around and see how the topography, you know, plays out and what it all looks like really, you know, makes it all start to make sense. You know, you go stand, you know, out there on the ridge at the first day, Chancellorsville Battlefield.
Right.
Or on the far side of McClaw's Wedge. And you wonder, you know, why the Army of the Potomac isn't still entrenched on that ground. And you see what, you know, the Army of Northern Virginia had to do to, you know, take those positions.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just shake my head and wonder.
Yeah, no, it is. And that's why whether it's the large tracks or the small tracks that you're able to tell a story, and you understand it more. And it's that same thing of where all of a sudden when you're reading about it, changes your whole perspective.
And it's a jigsaw puzzle. We're putting the battlefield back together like a jigsaw puzzle. You know, 1 acre here, 9 acres there, 40 acres, you know, over in that direction. And you know, once you have enough pieces of it, it starts to take shape and you start to see what the finished puzzle will look like.
And if you do ever get to the chance where you're able, because I have walked the with some Park Service programs with Frank and Beth, the flank march, and it's terrific. And to be able to piece some of that together will be just really a huge accomplishment.
It's still one of the most studied. And you'll still see the Marines and the Army come down here and they'll do battle rides with their troops and they'll still study this. That flank attack to this day, so it's still a relevant piece of history to our modern day military.
They study it. When my son graduated from an intelligence school at Fort Huachuca in Arizona, and he told me that they have a library with all kinds of books, and they discussed and in some of his classes discussed the flank march. So yeah, it's still there. And it was definitely worth preserving. And again, to walk that is so interesting because you walk parts of that and you can't even hear or see Route 3, any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a rarity today.
So yeah. So there are a number of ways, Terry, that people can get involved and different levels of support, and it all helps.
Absolutely. When you go to our website, cvbt.org, there's a drop-down menu for, you know, membership, and there you can find out how you can support us. You can donate directly on the website, or you could, you know, there's information there on how you could, you know, mail us a check, or, you know, even stop in the office and drop off a contribution to us. Plus, we're always looking for people to help us out with events. Our volunteer corps, who we call the Friends of CVBT, and they help us out when we do stuff like the spring seminar we did back in March and our annual conference, which will be September 13th through 15th this year. And, lots of great information on the website where you can read about the pieces of land that we've already saved, the pieces of land that we're currently saving, and how you can be involved.
It's always interesting talking to you guys because you never tell me, but I know that you're always doing something. You're always This stuff takes a long time. This is years.
It does. Most people think we knock on somebody's door and say, hey, here, you know, we'll offer you this for the property. They say, oh, joy, and they sign it. They, you know, they take the check. It never happens that way. There's a lot of negotiation with it. Usually as soon as somebody finds out that a group like us are looking at their property, they figure, well, it's, you know, it's got to be worth a lot more than I thought it was. And so it's a lot to it. I can tell you there are some things we're doing right now. One of the things is there's a new subdivision going up called Endora Oaks, which is directly across Route 3 from the First Day Battlefield that was saved, next to the Country Battlefield.
Yeah, store. I know exactly where
there's 125 homes going up there. The group that's doing that is the Cypress Real Estate Group. And I actually reached out to them specifically in person, and we have been having a rare, delightful conversation. And what we're doing is, obviously, we would rather not it be there, but, you know, we look for a win-win.
Yeah.
So what we've done is they have carved out a two-acre spot right on the high ground on Route 3, directly next to the country store. And they've carved out a two-acre spot. It's going to be a common area. It's going to have a small parking lot for 10 or 11 cars. It's going to have a trail, and we're going to, and CVBT is going to have signage put up there that's going to relate to the what happened on that side of Route 3.
Okay.
During the First Day Battle. It'll be on high ground so you can look across Route 3. So actually what we've done, they're very historically minded, and they understand the sensitivity of it. So this is a situation where you see we can work together with a developer.
Yeah.
So obviously we can't get the whole thing, but we're getting a good piece of it where the story can continue across the street. So, you know, that's an example of working with a developer. There's another developer now trying to put up a set of gas stations and convenience stores about 200 yards past the corner of the Chancellorsville House ruins. And the subdivisions next to them, the estates of Chancellorsville and the other subdivision there, the individuals living there were rather surprised and are rather not excited about that happening. So the CVBT and the ABT are assisting those individuals and those subdivisions on trying to find and mitigate what's going on there. Obviously, it's not the place for it. It's on core battlefield area for the Chancellorsville battle.
Yeah, no, I've walked it, and it's close.
It will be within a couple hundred yards of that Chancellorsville House ruins, which has a main – that was Hooker's headquarters for a while and a main story there in the Chancellorsville. So there's things that we're working on to try to help mitigate things, and there's developers that work with us and other ones that would rather not. So, yeah, we're constantly working on something all the time. As you say, all the time. Some things I can say, some things I can't. Those two things we can talk about.
Yeah, and that, boys and girls, is why you want to get involved with the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. And your financial backing right now is really important.
Yeah, even if you don't care about the history, you should care about the green spaces we're losing.
Well, and as you talk about over by the Battlefield Country Store, it's just so interesting. It's what you said a little bit earlier. You know, we hear it first. You know, this will be as far as we go. This will be it, and it never is. We just continue to march. Right. In this case, west.
Right. You've got the huge Publix complex going out there, the Publix shopping center, and it's got two or three ancillary stores around it, and they're still. To the east of that, there's still more property they have up for sale. So who knows what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
So it, like you say, it's crawling out here, and it's starting to run more than walk right now.
Yeah, and we're starting to see land cleared, which is always concerning. CVBT.org, CVBT.org. The Central Virginia Battlefields Trust in this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 831.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust in this morning. Always good stuff when they show up. CVBT.org. CVBT.org. Also, great stuff on Facebook. A lot of things that deal with... on this day in history and that kind of thing. Tom Van Winkle is here, the president. Terry Renssel is here, the executive director. And Tim Talbot, the chief administrative officer here. Tim, it's good to have you here this morning.
Thank you for having us again.
We were talking, you missed out on some of the great discussion, so I'll just have you just chime in for a little bit, if you'd like, just about the growth, the loss of battlefields. As somebody, as a historian like you, who's been around and worked in a number of places, I'm sure as you look around and see the growth and the loss of what we continue to do, that's why you're involved with Central Virginia Battlefields Trust.
Yeah, and when you talk about preservation, not all preservation is equal. It's tougher in some places than others. In our area where we're at, of course, it's very competitive with the real estate market, with prices, with the speed of how things move. Whereas in a more rural area, maybe say out in the country around Petersburg, where I came from, it's more farmland still. It hasn't developed as much, and prices are not quite as high for real estate. It's not as competitive. So it's not really comparing apples to apples when you talk about different markets and regions for battlefield preservation. We have it a very difficult job here to do. And what CVBT's done since 1996 is just truly amazing for this area.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure, you know, Tom was just talking about a couple of developments that you're working with and things that, but you really have to stay on top of some of these things and kind of be ahead of the game before they be, because a lot of times, probably by the time it gets to the planning commission stage, it might be too late.
Yeah, and of course, the people that are working these properties that want to purchase them usually have much deeper pockets than we do.
Yeah.
So big corporations, real estate companies, development organizations, it's very difficult to compete against those folks.
And I'm sure you see day in every day just the importance of gifts in all sizes can help what you're doing.
Definitely. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to be a member of an organization. People think of members. I know a lot of people aren't really enthused with joining things anymore, it seems like. But it is really terrifically important because that helps us do the day-to-day things we need to do to be successful with these land projects. If we don't have memberships providing the foundation or base of the organization, we would really, really struggle. So we thank our members. We would like more members. And we do encourage you to join as a membership at whatever level you're comfortable with, because all amounts help us.
Yeah, and to add to that, when I became president seemingly forever ago, you miss a meeting, that's what happens, you know. I consider, you know, not a member, but you're a partner. This is history, but history is still being written. Saving these battlefields and being able to tell the stories is still a continued part of that history. So when I say, you know, when Tim says a member, we call them basically partners. You're partners mm-hmm. in preservation. You're partnering with us to continue the history and tell the stories. And you know, this is a national thing. This is our national history. This isn't just local history. So saving this and being a partner in it, it's like Tim says, most people are like, well, I don't want to be a member. Well, I'll become a partner in it. Be part of it. Part of the positive side of what we're trying to do.
Think where we would be if you hadn't saved what you've saved. I just look around and think we would, if we're just relying on the Park Service battlefields, we would have much less to talk about and see for the whole community, for the country.
Absolutely. I mean, this you know, a long time ago, I tell the story. When I was president of the Friends of Wilderness Battlefield, I was also an historian and docent at the Elwood Lacey House Manor. And I had given my 15 minutes worth of speech, and the lady said to me, aren't you so lucky? And I said, what do you mean lucky? She says that the Civil War happened on the park boundaries that you have on this property. And I said, yes, ma'am, we're very lucky. But honestly, that's not where the Civil War ended. So
yeah.
The stories continue past the park boundaries. And to be able to, you know, we purchase properties that add to that story, to add to the telling of what happened in certain areas. They're not just arbitrarily picked. So, if there would be far more convenience stores, housing projects, and different gas stations right now if the nearly 2,000 acres we grabbed so far to save wasn't done. And, you know, I meet people on battlefields all the time, and lots of them are just out walking their dog, taking a walk, enjoying the green space. And when you tell them about the history there, it's kind of new to them. So, you know, just different sides of the coin why you want to save these lands.
Mm. Central Virginia Battlefields Trust in this morning, cvbt.org is the website. And I can't, I think once you say the name, I'll remember, but it's Chris Makowski and I walked this land that you just purchased out. It's out off Gunnery Hill Road in Spotsylvania.
Myers Hill.
Yeah. Just a little small piece of land. But again, that was another plate. A lot of things happened there. There was like a well there or something.
It's actually one of the largest intact pieces of battlefield we've picked up. Right now we have about 91 acres.
93.
93 acres of it. We're not done with it yet. But it's hard to find, like we were talking before about parcels and piecing things together. This was a very large piece of battlefield, intact battlefield, that was, as you went with Chris, I'm sure he told you, was mostly overlooked at the end of the Spotsylvania battlefield before they moved on. And that was a very, and it was again also working with a developer who gifted us 17 more acres of that. So, you know, working with development and developers is the best way to do it. But that, yes, is a very significant piece of battlefield and a large piece of battlefield that we were able to get.
It was just, it was fascinating hearing the story and walking along there. And that's where you've been able to tell stories. Just like the land you Terry, you talked about in with Chancellorsville, where the house is on right now, there all of these pieces of land that you're getting have interesting stories.
Yeah, Myers Hill, in the middle of that battle, George Gordon Meade, the commander of the Army of the Potomac, comes within a hair's breadth of being captured.
Yeah,
on that battlefield, you know how different might the Overland Campaign have been and the rest of the war if in, you know, late May 1864, Grant now has to try to figure out who's going to be in command of the Army of the Potomac. You know, and of course, you know, Meade escaping capture is really upset. And at that point, he orders, you know, the 5th and 6th Corps to retake that piece of ground from basically two brigades of Confederate soldiers, because he's mad and embarrassed.
Yeah, that ground was taken, had gone back and forth in possession of both armies several times. And the reason it's called Myers Hill, because Mr. Myers, he was a businessman in Fredericksburg. And he had moved his family out to that area trying to get away from what he thought was going to be the main part of the battle. And he also fought for the Confederacy. He was fighting down at Spotsylvania Courthouse and was able to look up towards the direction of his house and watch his house be burnt to the ground while he was fighting for the Confederacy. Mm. So think of that.
Yeah.
It was sort of the Appomattox thing with the McLean house. We'll move away so nobody bothers us, and the surrender winds up at your house.
Well, Tim, as I know, when you are able to make purchases, and I mean, those when that happens, I mean, there's got to be a lot of rejoicing when you finally reach the end of the line and can add another piece. And as Tom has been talking about this morning, the work the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust has done over the years, the amount of land, I mean, that is just phenomenal in this day and age, and as competitive as we've all talked about the land prices are, and you've said, to be able to do that in this area is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's really exciting when we come across a piece of property that comes up for sale, and the whole process of, you know, getting it negotiated and working through the real estate or the landowner, and then finally securing it, and then, you know, getting the appeals out to the people to help us pay for it, writing the grant work. It's all sort of a big sort of culmination that when it's finally secure, it is a big relief and a big celebration, because we know we've done something significant that's going to help not only our generation but future generations learn about this important period in our country's history.
Yeah, we're very happy when we obtain the land. With the rejoicing comes when we pay it off.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it does show you've told stories that there are some developers that do want to work with you and that are willing to do that.
Absolutely. One of the reasons we have Day One Battlefield and the reasons we have Slaughter Pen Farm, because developers in those two instances worked with ABT and CBBT and wanted to do the right thing. And we did. You know, they got the pieces they want. You know, negotiation, if you walk away getting what you need and not what you want, that's a successful negotiation, and many times we do that. And those two instances, it was the developers that helped us out quite a bit, both of our organizations, in getting those properties. So yeah, it's not a mutually headbutting thing. We want to work together, and the developers that understand the sensitivity of the area are much easier to work with.
It would seem that, I mean, wilderness obviously belongs on that list, just because of what's happening in Orange County. But as we have talked, and you've, You take a look at Chancellorsville and you think Chancellorsville can't be that far behind if you're talking about a gas station and a little bit of a subdivision here. And just knowing developers and looking and knowing what's going on in Spotsylvania County right now, you have to think the Chancellorsville, if Wilderness is on that 11, that, you know, if Wilderness, you could almost say that Chancellorsville could be 12 or 13 if the list went that big.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons Wilderness is on it is it's under imminent threat with this 2,600-acre behemoth of a city. I don't even call it a development. I call it a city. But, yeah, Chancellorsville's that cream and that cookie again, right in the middle of the Wilderness and Fredericksburg, and they're coming from both directions and putting a squeeze on everything. So, and one of the things we put up with today is the fact that sometimes a for sale sign never goes up on a property. You only find out about it once it was purchased. And that's, you know, when at the Wednesday announcement from the Historical Trust about the Wilderness Battlefield designation, we talked a lot about data centers. Data centers right now in the state of Virginia is a very hot topic.
Yep.
Not a good hot topic. They're buying properties for multiples of what they're worth. And if you're a landowner and somebody offers you 5-10 times what your property's worth, can you blame a landowner for not walking away from that? Probably not. But again, Tim was talking about other organizations that have deeper pockets. These people have, you know, an unending well of money.
Yeah.
And this is what's one of the things that's going on in Orange County. Data centers are going in that 2,600-acre development, and it's going to cause more issues with Orange County than the residents realize. The water usage, electricity usage for cooling, it's just phenomenal, and it's coming.
No, and data centers are promising so much revenue to a county that they're jumping on it. So, no, as we sat there and they talked about data centers, I thought, and there already are data centers coming to Spotsylvania, Stafford, and Caroline. So that, I guess, is another. And the, like you say, the amount of money they're paying for land is going to make it even more difficult.
And there's a data center right now going up adjacent to the Manassas Battlefield that the American Battlefield Trust is now trying to mitigate also. We need them. I mean, in this day and age, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing sitting here today without cloud storage and data centers, but we don't need them in certain places.
We're talking a Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. One final break. We'll come back with Tom Van Winkle, Terry Renzel, and Tim Talbot, and talk about their fall conference and, again, how you can get involved with their work. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Central Virginia Battlefields Trust in this morning, cvbt.org, the website. And if you have liked the conversation, you're going to like whether it's Facebook or online. Also, you have a fall conference every year. You do something in the spring and in the fall, September 13th through the 15th is your fall conference.
Every year we do a three-day, a large conference, and we try to do something different every year. It's hard when you're focused on five battlefields to do something different. This year we found a way to do something different again. We are going to have on Thursday, we're going to have a private tour for our generals, CVBT generals. Sorry, first morning with my new tongue. Are the ones that give $1,000 or more per year over and above membership and appeals. So we do special tours for them. We're bringing them out to Fleetwood Hill over at Brandy Station to do a private tour on Thursday.
Okay.
Friday, we're going to have Ted Savas of Savas Beatty Publishing. He was the individual who actually figured out where Payne's Farm was on the Mine Run battlefield, did the archaeology work there, and he's going to be doing a tour out there for us. Then on Saturday, we're going to have our friend Gordon Ray, who's written all the books on the Overland Campaign. We're going to do an expanded tour of the wilderness. We're going to go out into Orange County and look at where the Lee's defenses were along the Rapidan and do a completely different type of tour there. That night, we're going to have Jack Davis, historian Jack Davis, is going to be our keynote speaker at our dinner banquet Saturday night. And he's going to go over a little bit of the mythology through the Civil War and how what the mythology has done and how it's created our interpretation of how we feel about the Lost Cause and the different mythologies. And then Sunday at our brunch at Stevenson Ridge, we're going to have Stephen Cushman out there. I wrote a book, Civil War by the Generals. What it is based upon the generals' memoirs and how that shapes how we think things happened during the Civil War. So we have a pretty expanded conference, and we still have, I think, about 50 seats left for the bus tour. The dinners will be at the, we're going to have it at the Jepson Center here in town. So we, tickets are going pretty quick. So we advise everybody to grab the seats as they can. And it's a good time, a lot of fun. And we wish everybody would come on out.
No, if you don't wait on these, because I usually not too much longer. I expect to see on Facebook or elsewhere where it's sold out. So you do this every time, and it's a great conference. It really is.
Yeah, we had our March seminar that Tim and Terry put together, and that sold out quickly.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to this year's conference. I've been in communication with Ted Savas quite a bit this spring, and Ted's really excited about coming and being able to do this for us, because he loves the story of Payne's Farm and the fighting there, and being able to have the person who found the lost battlefield, be the guy who comes and interprets for us is a real special treat that you can't just get any or every day. And having Gordon Ray come and doing the tour that he's got planned, that's looking at the wilderness in a whole different way that I'm excited as a historian to be able to soak up his wisdom and knowledge.
And that's the thing, you bring in people like this that a lot of us have read books and have heard them speak or seen them here, they're right here. You can talk to them.
Gordon's book on the wilderness is one of my favorite books because it completely unlocked that battlefield for me.
Yeah, because it's everything at wilderness is sometimes tough to figure out. And you're right.
Because really, it's two separate battlefields.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no direct way. Hill Ewell Road didn't exist in the wartime. It's not a historic road trace. So to get from one end of the battlefield to the other, you had to go the long way around.
So if you want tickets, best way, go to the website?
Go to the website, cvbt.org. We've got a link there, give you a whole lot of details about the annual conference, how to get tickets, when everything's happening. We're also, this year, because we're in the Jepson Center and the space available, we're also able to sell a separate Saturday night banquet-only ticket if you're not in a position to be able to do the tours. You can still come to the Saturday night event and hear that and be a part of that.
We had to move because we've packed out and outgrown our last venue, which is a good thing. It's a good problem to have. So we have a couple hundred seats now that we can fill at the dinner.
To become a partner with Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, real quick, how can I do that?
Go to our website, cvbt.org. You can make a contribution there. You could also drop a check in the mail to us, P.O. Box 3417, Fredericksburg, and that's 22402.
Well, thanks for the work that you do. I mean, just I sat there with all of these different national, regional groups all up talking the other day at about the situation with the wilderness. Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, you were right up there, Tom, and had a great speech. You can see it on our Facebook page. And you're involved in these things, involved behind the scenes, and you're all, thanks for what you all do.
We appreciate you having us and letting us tell our story.
It is good to have you here. And Tim, the Facebook page, if you want to see, I don't know where you find, you've come up with pictures of either generals or battlefields or different Civil War pictures. I don't know where you find them, but it's a terrific Facebook page.
The good thing about the Civil War is there's no lack of primary sources, and making those human interest stories available to people is what kind of gets them hooked sometimes. So hopefully that helps.
Tim Talbot, Terry Renzel, and Tom Van Winkle with the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. We will talk again soon. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Tim.
Thank you.
CVBT.org, the website. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.